Interrupting current neo-uronial, climate-challenged, behaviorally-controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting, episode BTWRLM 663. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. And this is donation season. We'll change it a little bit. Donation season, for those of you that can, either monetarily to help the network and the money that we need to keep the equipment going and pay for the things that need to be done. And I can only tell you that Sound Minds does a great job to find the best prices for the things that we need to get as we move this thing along and looking forward into the future. So I can just, so far as I can tell, these last few years, there's not a problem with someone who's frugal and attempts to do the best thing with the money that you send in. So it's either a big donation that you can do, or a little donation, or even a coffee. You get on the website and send it on over to Sound Minds to keep the crew going, as we still keep moving along and keep doing what needs to be done. A lot of work going on and a lot of integration going on. And again, looking into the future and how, as I said it before, the governments are coming together to close us out. If we went to The Matrix is not a movie. The Matrix was showing us we're going to need to be living in that sewer, if you will, the internet sewer. And part of that is that you have the control, and I'm hoping at some point we're going to get over to there, where you have control. You only see your stuff, and there's nobody from the outside that can come in, at least that isn't maybe a state actor, and even then maybe stop them because of the way it's set up. You're going to go out and curate your information, and you'll be pulling in what you want, and hopefully RLM will be part of that curation that Sound does. So check out what Sound Minds actually puts together. All this time he's been putting information together. And again, other contribution, a donation you could do is your time putting it toward content to help people understand. If you have an insight, bring it. Sound Minds has a ton of space he can put you on. And so you have your pick at this point. Pretty soon, hopefully, we're going to get a whole lot more people to be able to bring this information forward. And it's going very, very quickly. I'm always astonished at how fast things go, but when you kind of, not in a way, not either. Because of the way it's been set up, it's been in planning. There's legions of people working against us, and hardly any of us work in unison or even in by ourselves in order to make a difference, other than just kind of see how we're vulnerable. And that's where I kind of place all of us at this point. I don't see an ability to make a unified response. And so to my mind, it was better, since it's always going to be our choice for us, each one of us, and we are going to decide, then we start to make those decisions, take the responsibility to do that. One thing you can do to help is to go ahead and take the responsibility to help fund the network. And I'm going to say this is a donation season, because we kind of got messed up this year with the network hardware, some of it going down, some of the software going down. And it was like the perfect storm. My system went down for no good reason. Still haven't figured it out, having to transition, and still got things to work out. So again, if you will, whatever you can donate would be great. Your time, more hosts would be great. They're working on the ghost still, as I understand it. And so that should be coming on here sooner, I was hoping, than now, but it's coming now, I understand, closer. They're working out what the problem is. I don't know what happened before. It was working. Everything was fine. And now a glitch, right? As I found out, you update your systems and they want to update you right into the future that they want. And so we got to keep diligent and vigilant about that in the future, as we're seeing Linux. Maybe it was a good thing I didn't go over toward Linux, that I was trying so hard to do for 2 months. Well, I was down. My system was down for 2 months because I was trying to get on Linux. And as I told you, I was able to get Wine to run the things I wanted. I wasn't whining. The program called Wine, and it allows you to run on Linux. It allows you to run Microsoft programs. I got all that working at least once, and then it had trouble. Found out that the Mint system that I was using, the distro Mint, it's not capable of doing some things, and they know that. So then that's looking for the right distribution. Well, it turns out I didn't get into Linux, but now we're going into the age verification problem, which some of the Linux distro, the bigger players, are actually going to capitulate to. Some are talking they won't. And so maybe it was a good thing I didn't jump into that too soon, or found out, and maybe why it sounds like I felt like I wasted 2 months to try and get back online. At least it was more than that, but it may be for the better ultimately. As I told you, I've been learning to de-Microsoft the Windows 10 in order so I can use the Microsoft programs that I was, it's not Microsoft programs, it's the programs that work on Windows. And I had to DHP my system in order to get rid of their opinion on what I needed so that I could actually put out a broadcast and get the things done I needed. And the workflow and all the programs that go together, I'm really shocked how much work it took all these years pulling stuff together that worked in a workflow that isn't available, that I've had to piece together and get to working. So there's a lot of work going on. I just want to say that people at the RLM, it may look like we have problems, and we are, but that's because there's lots of work going on to try and keep going with very little help. So if you could do your part, please, I'd appreciate it, and give us a little bit of kudos for the effort that we're doing. And maybe you have some ideas, too, as we can incorporate things that are going on. But as before, I was so rudely interrupted by the ongoing series of these tech diffs. I ran across this article to read a few months back, but somehow it's more poignant these many months later relative to Donald Debacle Trump's war crimes of late, whom he sides with and whom he won't, let alone protect, for those that may yet still be on the fence. A statement from the patriarchs of the heads of the churches in Jerusalem on unity and representation of the Christian communities in the Holy Land. The patriarchs and heads of churches in the Holy Land affirm before the faithful and before the world that the flock of Christ in this land is entrusted to the apostolic churches, which have borne their sacred ministry across centuries with steadfast devotion. Interject, and you hear the claim to the land right there as well. Recent activities undertaken by local individuals who advance damaging ideologies such as Christian Zionism mislead the public, sow confusion, and harm the unity of our flock. These undertakings have found favor among certain political actors in Israel and beyond to seek to push a political agenda which may harm the Christian presence in the Holy Land and the wider Middle East. Holy Scriptures tell us that, quote, we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one of another. Parenthetically, Romans 12:5. To claim authority outside the communion of the church is to wound the unity of the faithful and burden the pastoral mission entrusted to the historic churches in the very land where our Lord lived, taught, suffered, and rose from the dead. The patriarchs and heads of churches further note with concern that these individuals have been welcomed at official levels both locally and internationally. Such actions constitute interference in the internal life of the churches and disregard the pastoral responsibility vested in the patriarchs and heads of churches in Jerusalem. The patriarchs and heads of churches in Jerusalem reiterate that they alone represent the churches and their flock in the matters pertaining to Christian religious, communal, and pastoral life in the Holy Land. May the Lord, who is the shepherd and guardian of souls, grant wisdom for the protection of his people and the safeguarding of his witness in this sacred land. Signed, the patriarchs and the heads of churches in Jerusalem, as Israel closes holiest site in Christendom ahead of Easter. The holiest site in Christianity, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, is indefinitely closed following the security concerns as Christians prepare to celebrate Easter, according to officials. The closure immediately followed the February 8th U.S.-Israel attack in Iran and is accompanied by the closure of other holy sites in the Abrahamic religions, either in or leading up to important religious holidays, according to the Catholic Near East Welfare Association, citing the head of Israel's civil administration. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is jointly managed by 6 Christian denominations. It is the destination of millions of pilgrims, and is traditionally believed to contain both Calvary, the rock on which Jesus Christ was crucified, and the tomb in which he was laid and believed to have been resurrected, according to the church's website. I think that was the Bible too, wasn't it? The closure takes place as Holy Week, beginning March 29th, draws near. Under typical circumstances, Holy Week brings in Christians from all over the world to visit the site. Good Friday marks the death of Christ, and Easter Sunday marks his resurrection. The Israeli Foreign Ministry said Tuesday that fragments of an Iranian missile landed on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre compound. Quote, the Iranian regime is targeting the holy sites of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Close quote, the account stated. Now, they say that. Did any of those people being attacked say that? Or is this made up? The third holiest site of Islam is the Temple Mount. It houses Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock, where Muslims believe Muhammad saw a vision of the heavens. The Temple Mount is also closed to the public. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is also under attack by the Zionists, and has been. Officials called the move, quote, a violation of international law and international humanitarian law, as well as the legal status quo of Jerusalem, quote, quote, according to the UNAOC press release. The Temple Mount is the foundation built over Mount Moriah, and it is where Abraham is believed to have prepared to sacrifice Isaac. It is also believed to be where the first and second Jewish temples were located, and it is the holiest location in the Jewish faith. But woke right Zio-Christian deceivers here indeed, as we've been listening, as I've been talking behind the woodshed about this, it's woke right identity politics is what Zio-Christianity is. Sounds like a temple ripe for a Zionista false flag, if you ask me. As we're watching, nothing is sacred. And so Israel, messing with Christendom, doesn't get the Pope activated, but Trump do. Pope Leo XIV said Tuesday, referring to Trump's threats to a, quote, whole civilization will die tonight, close quote, if Iran fails to meet his latest deadline to strike a deal that includes reopening the Strait of Hormuz, that President Trump's threat to destroy Iranian civilization was truly unacceptable, and said any attacks on civilian infrastructure violates international law. But it's just unacceptable to boot there. I guess the fallible one didn't get the memo that Trump don't need no stinking international law. He said, quote, there are certainly issues here of international law, but even more than that, it is a moral question for the good of the world's people, Leo states. I guess he didn't get that memo either, that the only limit to Trump's power was his morality. And likely, in Trump's degenerate mind, his own limitation, morality exceedingly more than the Pope himself, apparently. But Leo urged people to remember, quote, especially the innocent children, the elderly, the sick, so many people who have already become or will become victims of this continued warfare, close quote. But, wow, the Pope must have been out of the office when that memo was issued. Trump said, the war is for the children, as I covered last episode, and that killing these children and destroying their civilization will set them free, because democracy, don't you know? And I suppose Leo also missed when Trump, with all his mind-made moral superiority, did not put his hand on that Bible when he swore his oath of office. But given his deeds, he apparently never intended to keep his oath of office or to help the children or to a higher authority, because there is no higher authority than Pope Trump. And his foreign preference to the Zionista Federation Movement political manifesto. Because you know them when you seize them. When you seize them. Right, Francis Lieber? Oh, and Popadope. Where was you before now to stop the genocide wiping out the Semitic civilization in Palestine, if and you are so worried about morality? And then the obstruction of the Christians to their holy places during the holy days, or the destruction of those places. Where was you? How much less unacceptable was all that? With Operation FAFO, where it's known that it's not wise to trap an animal into a corner, where Trump is a jab-harm Zionista terrorist rab mobster to cause a whole civilization will die tonight, or when he doesn't, he's a joke. How operationally FUBAR is the narcissistic psychopath-in-chief to have to back himself into that corner? Legally, strategically, politically, disgracing the nation reputationally, and by the only thing he says that can stop his power, he lost morally, right, Pope Leo? And with this dire condition, and despite our differences, I agree with the suggestions of the American Pope, because you're not in a spectator sport. In some of these, his strongest comments yet against the war, Leo urged Americans and other people of goodwill to contact their political leaders and congressional representatives to demand they reject war and work for peace. So to his credit now, though, if Israeli Christian persecution in Jerusalem didn't get his ire, he said he's going to be headed toward Lebanon to see if the Zionists will bomb him to heaven there. And the next thing we saw right after all that going on, with the Pope coming out against this statement that Trump was going to destroy a whole civilization, the news that came out of the teletype here behind Woodshed was that China pressed Iran toward ceasefire, Iranian officials say. And here we start getting the first inclinations of where we're going to have to start listening in order to pay attention to who's saying what. So because there's going to be, in this nonsense, there's going to be a lot of he said, she said, we didn't say type things, and yet there's no real commitment by any of them, and we have to keep track of all of that. But China is said to step up. And I found this a little bit interesting in that, remember, everyone has their own interests. And though you would think they want to talk about peace here, a ceasefire, we always remember here too, China is doing it for its needs, and those needs are that it gets a lot of stuff through the Strait of Hormuz that Iran's controlling now. And remember that. And understand and remember that Strait of Hormuz was open before Trump said it needed to be open. According to three Iranian officials, Beijing has used their influence for a different purpose, to press Iran to accept the ceasefire with the United States. But it's actually a different purpose, so we got to take note of what's going on here. Iran's decision to accept the two-week ceasefire proposal brokered by Pakistan came after diplomatic efforts by Pakistan and a last-minute push by China, according to Iranian officials. And understand also the underlying dynamic here. The United States helped Pakistan come to this idea to help Iran. Iran didn't want a ceasefire because what they want is a permanent cessation of warfare, a permanent peace. Not unlike what Russia's asking for. No ceasefires. Let's just do what it takes to make peace. So understand that's underneath all of this as well. China asked Iran to show flexibility and diffuse tensions, they said. Meaning it wasn't because of Trump's threat, as Trump has been promoting. Then how could it be? Iran had already ceased all negotiations with the liar and negotiator backstabber-in-chief. Iran agreed to make its 10-point offer at the encouragement of China for China's sake. And Trump accepted that off-ramp provided to him. To do what? To escape the corner he had painted himself into when being a loser for intending to commit yet another war atrocity, that the Persian civilization should die, and when he didn't expose the clown he turned out to be. Along with what Pope Leo says, there's a movement afoot of impeachment. I'd like people to think that track down, but there's a lot of things that can be going through. There's been articles of impeachment filed, and they have the most charges ever of it against a sitting president. And so there's people moving on this, but again, let's think down the track. I'm not saying not to or not to press it, but think down the track of what's going to be replacing all this, because that's another angle that goes on. Almost, I kept saying, Trump appears to have been bringing on certain things. Once they get what they want from him, they move him out. and someone more compliant can be placed in. So be careful on how this goes. What we do as people, how we stop the political forces right now engaged, I'm not so sure, but it is still important to keep track of who says what for why and where it might lead us and what we might have to do, again, to stay, to keep ourselves from being hurt any more than they want to hurt us. And Trump admitted it really wasn't anything he threatened to do, but this was for deeper considerations for Iran's allies. Trump says he believes Iran was persuaded to negotiate a ceasefire by China. Now, what's not been said here in these articles is that actually the United States was in the background trying to get other countries to get Iran to make this decision for a ceasefire. Again, contrary to what they want a peace, a permanent peace, not a ceasefire, so they keep getting beat on. So this Trump admission is a tip of the hat to China also. It sets up a more favorable conditions for Trump's upcoming May visit to China. But look at what Trump did and what he agreed to, and doesn't look like anything Trump has ever said was the cause he executed his unjust war for or to benefit Israel first. And on that note, just in time for Taco Tuesday from the Department of Loser in Chief, inside the failing department of I Don't Need No International Law, Let Them Eat Chaos, Trump walks back the threat to destroy Iranian civilization. Tehran has claimed it has achieved a great victory and forced Washington to accept its 10-point plan. And this is what the ceasefire so-called is being said to be on. Washington offered a 15-point plan. Iran said, we're not negotiating. Iran offered a 10-point plan with what they want to get done to make permanent peace. And Trump immediately accepted. He accepted it, and then he made a phone call to Satan Yehu. And then he backed out of at least one of the things he agreed to as he works the markets to the great profit of his insiders. U.S. President Donald Trump has suspended his looming attack on Iran's energy infrastructure, announcing a 2-week ceasefire to negotiate a long-term peace agreement based on a, quote, workable, close quote, 10-point proposal from Tehran. So there's an acceptance. It may be somewhat conditional, but it's acceptance on its face until they work it out. Just hours after that warning that a whole civilization might die tonight if Iran refused to open the Straits of Hormuz, Trump reversed course following a direct appeal from Pakistani negotiators. Quote, based on conversations with Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif and Field Marshal Asim Munir of Pakistan, and wherein they requested that I hold off the destructive force being sent tonight to Iran, and subject to the Islamic Republic of Iran agreeing to the complete, immediate, and safe opening of the Strait of Hormuz, I agree to suspend the bombing and attack of Iran for a period of 2 weeks, close quote, Trump posted on his social media platform. And the save political face back home off-ramp statement he makes in describing the move as a double-sided ceasefire, adding that the U.S. has, quote, already met and exceeded all military objectives, close quote, to which the markets reacted again. Together with the act tough statement, when you have no cards to play through Operation FUBAR, FAFO, the president said Iran's 10-point proposal offers a, quote, workable basis on which to negotiate, close quote, with most points of past contention already agreed to. Trump warned, however, that the Iranian plan is not good enough in its current form and that he could order devastating new airstrikes if no deal is reached by the new deadline. That because of his past actions, that no one can trust what Trump says. Now we wait to see whom has Trump's nicked ear for his next move. The Zionists having no problem even wanting to use nuclear Samson option executing the cannibal protocol, or you all at home making known louder and more clearly that he has successfully developed a loser legacy and that you'll seek his removal from office through every means possible, as well all those complicit in his illegal and ill-advised hostilities. As I said, the American Pope knows the United States political process. Use it, folks. Or the civilization that dies will be your civilization. Remember that carnival mirror, the international carnival mirror. What they do out there, they're willing to do at home. It's not inconceivable that China provided Iran intercontinental ballistic missile kits, which Iran would assemble and place its own hypersonic nuclear device on to hit the United States. Or if Israel doesn't, when our greatest ally executes a false flag, to blame Iran anyway. And now we hear maybe North Korea might get involved. Nuclear ICBM coming Washington's way. Nuclear glowing cricketism, indeed. As we used to say during my time at Republic Broadcasting during the Ron Paul revolution, burn up the phones. Don't stay silent on these existential matters. Not now. Not ever. Because as I say behind the woodshed, life is not a spectator sport, or for what they call death, either, for that matter, glowingly or not. But we'll see in 2 weeks if Satan Yehu or his ghost doesn't press the cherry red button to hide all his and Epstein's sins sooner, won't we? Given that there's much less profit to be made in a nuclear glowing world, maybe that will make some impression to the insider profit taker parasites and Zionista influencers having Trump's nicked ear, you think? We turn now to the Iranian 10-point plan, of which Iran says, au contraire, we're not going anywhere, loser. And again, the bully needs to be punched in the nose. And so at that point, for that reason, I don't have much problem with all this. And we should look at that 10-point plan. What did Trump notice and take and accept? Conditionally, of course, but it was workable, folks. Iran declares historic victory as Trump accepts 10-point plan. Iran has declared it achieved a decisive outcome in the recent confrontation, stating the U.S. has accepted a 10-point plan proposed by Tehran, according to the Supreme National Security Council of Iran. The council said the enemy suffered an, quote, undeniable, historic, and crushing defeat, close quote, adding that Iran secured, quote, a great victory, close quote. Iran has outlined a 10-point plan proposed by Tehran and accepted in principle by Washington, according to the Supreme National Security Council of Iran. Now, you got to keep track of these players of who's saying what. I'm just going to interject right here. This was stated by the Supreme National Security Council of Iran. Trump denied it. Vance came out and denied it. Pakistani government that was asked to step in to try and get this agreement said, no, Iran's correct. And this is talking about protecting Lebanon. According to the council, the U.S. has agreed to the following Iranian conditions. And so keep track of this and keep in mind, it's only 10, not even 15. They require for permanent peace now, this is what they're working toward, not a ceasefire to start firing again. They want it stopped. Again, remember, the Strait of Hormuz was open before Trump closed it and said he then wants it open. But Iran is demanding to have peace and stop this. As Arigachi just said, just do what you agreed and we go away. He just said that. One, a commitment to non-aggression for all you non-aggression principle people. That's Iran. A commitment to non-aggression. Number two, continued Iranian control over the Strait of Hormuz. And understand, that's not closure, that's control. And this is an interesting thing. I'm not so sure about it myself, but this is what they're asking. But they need to have some protection, and they're asking to control the Strait of Hormuz. Three, acceptance of Iranian uranium enrichment. Four, lifting of all primary sanctions. Five, lifting of all secondary sanctions. Six, termination of UN Security Council resolutions. And seven, termination of IAEA Board of Governors resolutions. 8. Payment of compensation to Iran. 9, withdrawal of U.S. combat forces from the region. And 10, listen to this one and remember it, cessation of war on all fronts, including against resistance forces in Lebanon. The council emphasized that upcoming talks in Islamabad will focus on finalizing these terms, stressing that negotiations are based on Iran's own proposal. It added that the pauses in fighting, quote, does not mean the end of the war, close quote, warning that Iran remains ready to respond to any escalation. Iran here isn't going anywhere, is the point. And Trump's morally reprehensible, brutish threats to destroy their civilization did not faze them, not one little bit. Which agreement the flip-flopper-in-chief Trump already broke. Iran ceasefire in jeopardy after U.S. Israel accused of violating truce. And this is the problem with this agreement. Trump agrees, but Satan Yehu's not involved in that. And so now we see a definite problem developing. However, there's nothing that Satan Yehu does that isn't paid for by the United States as its proxy, is it? As long as the tail's not wagging the dog. Right, Trump? Iran ceasefire in jeopardy after U.S. Israeli accused of violating truce. So we see we're in a truce faction here. Nothing more. And why this is still a war ongoing. A ceasefire deal to pause the war in Iran appeared to hang by a thread Wednesday after Islamic Republic closed the Strait of Hormuz again in response to Israeli attacks in Lebanon. So attacking Lebanon is a direct violation of point 10 if it hasn't been a violation of international law all along. And understand, number 10 doesn't need to be a violation of the 10 points. Being president of the United States of America, Trump is obligated to stop it under international law. And you'd think he'd take as a personal affront the insult caused by Satan Yehu in attacking Lebanon after he made the agreement with Iran. But Trump is not what or whom he claims, as gung-ho Hegg Seth prostituting himself for the Zionism, that Christian Zionist ideology, the woke right, is a caricature of a military man playing his part out. And Trump is a caricature of a lapdog pretending to be president to the same terrorist insult to a peace-striving mankind. Israel intensified its attacks on the Hezbollah militant group in Lebanon, hitting several commercial and residential areas in Lebanon without warning. At least 112 people were killed and hundreds are wounded in one of the deadliest days in the latest Israel-Hezbollah war. The fresh violence threatened to scuttle what U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance called a, quote, fragile, close quote, deal. We didn't have to turn blue in the face waiting for that breach by Trump, did we? And what deal? Sounds like Trump got his civilization destruction get out of stupid card, manipulated the markets once again, and had buyer's remorse within the 3-day cooling off period when up against a professional negotiator, the bad advice consumer Trump appears to be, that he can claim there never was a deal. Oh, that was STOOPID for the hearing sensitive. And it doesn't sound like there was a meeting of the minds to the agreement anyway by the art of the deal shyster-in-chief looking out for Israel first, or Israel first at all costs, whatever it takes, by any excuse the duped will swallow. And again, we now hear Kim Jong-un saying if Israel or the U.S. goes to nukes, North Korea will send their multi-warhead ICBM nuclear missile to Washington and Tel Aviv. But beyond all that, I trust y'all have reviewed the movie about the aftermath of a nuclear attack called Threads by now, right? And reviewing some of the standards of the international law that Trump don't need, Trump's just-for-fun strikes on Iran could be war crime. Over 100 international law scholars say the U.S.-Israeli war may violate the U.N. Charter, while Doomsday Clock Chief calls the conflict idiotic. And here, don't underestimate, you got idiotic, ready to push a cherry red button. Nuclear glowing is what I say in the opening and have been. And disappointed I haven't been able to remove that, but I just can't do it quite yet, can I? More than 100 U.S.-based international law experts. Okay. And they say, could. May violate. No, it does violate. This is the other problem with these experts and all this other stuff. No one wants to call out the violation and go to accountability. In an open letter published on Thursday by the Just Security Policy Journal, scholars from Harvard, Yale, Stanford, and other institutions stated that the unprovoked U.S.-Israeli campaign against Iran, which began in late February, is, quote, a clear violation of the United Nations Charter, close quote, but they won't say it does violate it. They just might. It just may. Anyway, they're seeing all the same stuff I've been talking to you about and the violations that there are, the standards that you need to keep in order that things don't go cattywampus. And we just might get an accident and it just might go nuclear glowing. They also stated that the conduct of the U.S. Do I have to remind people of the Samson option and the cannibal protocol that Israel sits under? They think they're fulfilling something in their ideology, their woke left ideology, their fascist ideology, their apartheid ideology. They also stated that the conduct of the United States forces and statements by officials, quote, raises serious concerns about violations of international human rights law and international humanitarian law, close quote, including potential war crimes. Again, always a potential. I guess you got to give them all, what, benefit of the doubt? If that's the case, then if that's absolutely the case, then why is it that when you notice that someone's being genocided, do you have an obligation duty to step right in? Step right up and step right in. And that's what happened in Ukraine, actually, if you go look at that. When the first couple charter agreements, 1 and 2, were violated in the people of a territory that chose a territory to be separate, and they have the right to do that, alter, abolish the government as they see fit, make their own. When those two first violations made, that's when Russia stepped in as well. We didn't see the fancy pants dance going on like they did and have done and all these other countries have for Gaza. The experts specifically highlighted President Donald Trump's remarks last month that the U.S. may conduct strikes in Iran, quote, just for fun, close quote. They also cited War Crimes Secretary Pete Hegseth's March 2nd statement that the U.S. does not fight with, quote, stupid rules of engagement, close quote, and his declaration of, quote, no quarter, no mercy for our enemies, close quote. A phrase that under international law can constitute war crime. And how stupid is that anyway? Stupid rules of engagement? Those rules are set up over a long time. A lot of experience in men fighting each other on how best to deal with themselves in the battle. And those rules of engagement are made to keep it from getting even worse. And a lot of that engagement has to do with the POWs. A lot of that engagement has to do with what happens when you get captured. And you don't want your soldiers just out there being mistreated. You want a little bit of impression going on in a military mind, notwithstanding the war. Why, it sounds like the laws of war is really a ridiculous statement. But there's reasons why you want rules of engagement, even so. Hegseth wants to get rid of them all. Because why? We don't need no stinking international law. We make it up. Whatever works, whatever the cost. The letter expressed particular concern over the February strike on the Sher Yaria Bay girls' school in Manab, which killed at least 175 people, mostly children. I think that number was around 165, 168 girls, children. A whole lot of problem behind that. And Trump removed the agency within the military that's supposed to look over, the final look over, to see whether or not a targeted place is actually still viable as a military base and not being used for a civilian purpose. They got rid of that function, Trump did, right before they started doing this. The Pentagon has reportedly determined the U.S. forces carried out a strike based out on outdated intelligence, but has yet to apologize, as I reported already before about that, using outdated information. Not only did they use outdated, they knew it was outdated. They never did the follow-up check to see whether or not that targeting was accurate and it was a military to be able to be targeted, because you're not supposed to target civilian areas, non-fighting areas. Also, there used to be, there still is. We need to hold to it. But this administration claims there used to be protections against museums and churches, religion and schools and libraries and culture and all that stuff. Those are like seven or so different international law areas you're just not supposed to attack. In other words, you're not supposed to decimate a civilization. You leave the evidence of its culture and its people alone that way. Let the warfighters, not a caricature of a warfighter, but like Haig Seth, but warfighters take care of it and do it again by rules of engagement. The same day, a U.S. missile struck a school, the sports hall in a city of Lamar, killing at least 21 people. The weapon used was the previously untested precision strike missile, which disperses small tungsten pellets. Foreign Ministry spokesman Ismail Bakayi said over 600 schools and educational facilities have been targeted, calling the Manav massacre a part of, quote, a systematic and brutal pattern of illegal warfare, close quote. Iran has accused the U.S. and Israel of committing genocide. Separately, John Mecklen, editor-in-chief of a bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, which sets the doomsday clock, described the war as absolutely idiotic, warning that, quote, accidents, miscalculations, crazy stuff, close quote, happen in wars, and a nuclear accident, quote, can't be ruled out, cannot be ruled out until the fighting stops. Nuclear glowing, folks, as I've been saying in my opening every week I do a broadcast. Both the legal experts and Mecklen called for a return to diplomacy, while noting that Trump's withdrawal from the 2015 nuclear deal has made a negotiated settlement extremely difficult. That's the other thing that Trump demands that he screwed up. The advisor to the president told the world where international law should be shoved in confirmation of we don't need no stinking international law. We'll make it up as we go, and we'll do it without those rules of engagement. U.S. President Donald Trump's Homeland Security Advisor, Stephen Miller, one of his most prominent Jewish advisors, has released an extremely clear assessment by Washington of the role of international law. This is reported by the Telegram channel Informant. Quote, international law is for weaklings. You can say whatever you want about international niceties and stuff like that, but we live in a real world that is governed by force, coercion, power, the American said. Miller called this state of affairs the iron law of the world. And I bring up the point about him being Jewish. That sounds just like Satan Yehu's gang, doesn't it? There's no law. There's no rule. There's no accountability. It's just force. Clearly, it would be coercion. It's also extortion. It's war crimes. It's raw power without any moral underpinnings, without any principle underpinnings. It's whatever it takes, right, President? Whatever it takes, Trump. Deny them due process. And so as we see that, and we see that the American government, just disgraceful what they're doing, and walking away from diplomacy, as I said, we should not do. I've said this years ago, you know, continuously as I get a chance. Also observed by the atomic clock setter. It's just a fact, folks. I'll provide a link to the archive.org copy in the blogcaster if you need a refresher for Trump's vision of an Epstein file-free world, the movie about a nuclear war aftermath that you can brush up on. called Threads in 1984, if you haven't seen it. Because why does an economic union need a nuclear weapon? European Union secretly working on creation of their own nuclear weapons. The European Union has begun secretly working on the issue of creating its own nuclear weapons production potential, the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, or SVR, said on Wednesday. Quote, in the endless corridors of the European Union headquarters, they have already begun secretly working on the issues of creating their own nuclear weapons production potential, of course, as the EU says, solely to contain the mythical Russian threat. Close quote, the SVR said in a statement. The SVR called the path taken by Brussels dangerous and stressed that the EU's plan for a new, quote, march to the east, close quote, which NATO was not supposed to do one more inch, remember, would inevitably undermine the foundations of the global security architecture and the international system for the non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Quote, in order to divert the attention of the international and European public, Brussels is demonstrating its commitment to the traditional course, which involves relying on the U.S. nuclear umbrella. And I want to just interject why I highlighted European. Those are European nations, not the European Union. These are the people and those nations of Europe, not the veneer of administration, which was supposed to focus on economics, that is thinking about creating a nuclear weapon. Not even a country, folks. The EU leadership hopes that in this way it will be able to gain time for the covert formation of its own nuclear weapons industrial base, as well as to prepare the public for making a political decision on acquiring nuclear weapons, the SVR said. Again, perception management to get your buy-in, to finally get your vote, so to say. Whether they have a vote over there, I don't know. But this is what it gets to get you to not speak out. The EU leadership also agreed to ensure the most closed regime for the development of nuclear weapons by the bloc, more than Israel's done. The United States and other countries need to prevent the creation of nuclear weapons by the European Union in order to avoid a new round of global arms race, the SVR added. Again, these lawless lunatics, at least Israel pretends it's a state. Now, right before the administration shakeup began, some interesting things were mentioned about where the officials were moving to that I thought was very interesting in the post-founding father Lincolnized military modernized United States of occupation. In particular, the United States Attorney General. Pam Bondi moves to a military base amid security threats. So Attorney General moves to a military base. Makes sense now, doesn't it? A civilian general moving to a military base in an occupied country in wartime. A general moving to a military base is not even news, is it? And we let that go past. Attorney General moves to military base amid security threats because it's just us, not just this. Relocation follows cartel threats and backlash over Epstein case handling, sources say. What is she going to do now, folks? Bondi isn't alone. The Times notes she's one of several Trump administration officials now living in guarded military housing, among them Secretary of State Marco Luzer Rubio, Domestic Policy Advisor Stephen, you know where to stuff the international law, don't you, Miller, outgoing Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, which should have been outgone, should be outgoned, and War Crime Secretary Pete Hegseth, and top Army and Navy officials. What they're paying to stay in some of the government's most prized historic residences isn't really clear, raising questions about taxpayer-funded security and perks for political appointees with no direct military role. But sure, they have a military role. But they can't let out that you live in a post-founding father era of modernized Lincolnization. The occupation. because then you'd know them because you could seize them, right? Dr. Francis, General Orders Number 100, Lieber. Fascinating what they tell us right up front, and no one notices, folks. And I've been on the broadcast for a couple over a decade writing about it for sure, decade and a half talking about it. It's right there in front of us. If we would just look at the words and understand what they actually mean, why I found, again, the encyclopedic version of international law and reading through most all of it highly needed and highly educational to prepare me for what I was reading when I finally got into reading the statutes and codes. And then you start having these, what they call the eyes to see, as I can tell that they need to be seen. And I was able to then go through and identify all sorts of things based in this idea. Based in this idea that there's foreigners that want in, and they'll find ways to secret themselves in, and they'll do it legally. You even hear the Zionists say, well, we're not doing anything illegal. We've just used the system the way it was designed. And I have to say, for the most part, I think they're correct. And look at what they've done with that. Well, everybody watched. That's fascinating. Like your bar association. There's a couple of states now, like 26 of them actually. Bar association was a foreign agent, a foreign organization. They had to file in foreign organization law within the states. After they got in, they then arguably made law that they could influence that took their foreign status and made it domestic. And then now they're considered a domestic organization within the state. And then they also have now the added power of being a branch of the government. As I've said before and what and showed and explained, they substituted the permanent laws of the people for a Model Business Corporation Act. And they transferred all the statuses around until it made it a Model Business Corporation acceptable within state law to then become a branch of government. They substituted your permanent laws and brought in their own corporate laws. And that's what you live under. And that's on top of the Lincolnization. And relative to Bondi failures, I found this also interesting comment here to an article saying that former Iranian President Ahmadinejad was alive because the first waves of attacks against Iran were trying to decapitate the government of Iran and its ability to recover even into the future by pulling back people back. So they were thinking that he was killed and dead. The comment to this article, which I won't read, just a comment grabbed me, was from Laszlo Skander. No Iranian has ever called me Goyim, advocated for the opening of my country's borders to millions of alien, hostile, high birth rate invaders from the third world whilst their country remains an ethno-state. No Iranian has ever spit on my priests in Jerusalem. No Iranian has ever told me that my children need to get a gender reassignment surgery. No Iranian has ever taken my tax money so that he can have health insurance benefits back home. No Iranian has ever celebrated a genocide every winter commemorating the massacre of hundreds of thousands of Hellenized Syrians. No Iranian has murdered thousands of Greeks in Cyprus during the Kitos War. No Iranian killed a czar to usher in communism. No Iranian has ever starved to death millions of Ukrainians. No Iranian has ever ethnically cleansed Anatolia of Assyrians and Greeks and Armenians. No Iranian has ever sold military secrets to China. No Iranian sank the USS Liberty. No Iranian appears on the Epstein list. I didn't know that, folks. That sort of wraps up, though, the underlying motivation to the prior content of the beginning of this blogcast here. It kind of ties it up with a nice little bow, don't you think? And speaking of living in an occupied country where every inhabitant is a foreigner to the occupying government, Minneapolis video contradicts Fed's narrative of ICE shooting. Officials claimed men attacked agent with a shovel and brooms. Prosecutors had a key piece of evidence within reach in a controversial ICE shooting in Minneapolis, but they didn't look at it for nearly 3 weeks. The footage recorded January 14th by a city security camera and obtained via records requests. For those of you listening on how you go about doing this and didn't know where to start, you can start there a lot of times. Your records requests. Again, this is a records request, not a FOIA necessarily, if it was in the state. And that's the other thing I want to point out. You have FOIA for federal, and you have your open records request for the states. Typically, go to that law in your state. If it's a state issue, find the federal if it's for a federal matter. Via record sharply conflicts with sworn statements from immigration agents who said that the three men beat one of them with a shovel and a broom for several minutes before he fired. Instead, the clip shows a roughly 12-second scuffle involving two men and no prolonged attack with any shovel, which appears to have been tossed aside before the struggle. The city released video of the incident on Monday. ICE's acting director has since said two agents appeared to have lied under oath and placed them on leave. They could face criminal charges. State investigators, meanwhile, say their review has been hampered by a limited federal cooperation. Sosa Celis and Aljorna and their partners, who lack legal status in the U.S., were detained for weeks after the shooting, but judges eventually ordered them to be returned to Minneapolis while they fight deportation efforts, thanks to Donald, deny them due process, Trump. Lawyers say that since they are cooperating with investigators of the conduct of ICE agents, they could be eligible for special visas. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Government agents lying to protect their occupation, confabulating events that don't actually exist? What about it, President Trump? You know anything about that? Anyone else in your administration? Like maybe Mark Loser Rubio's Munich remarks, where he attempted to systematize a worldview that does not truly exist, together with the truism, tell a lie long enough. Defining this as an attempt to systematize a worldview that does not truly exist is perfectly stated and is applicable across every subject matter psychopaths and philanthropaths are interested in controlling as they wantonly and willfully harm, kill, or genocide others. Attempts to systematize or rationalize worldviews that do not truly exist is the UN, the WHO, no, not the Rock Group, not the OWL, not the little people of Whoville, Horton, the World Health Organization, the WHO, attempts to systematize and rationalize the worldviews that do not exist, is the Zionists, the United States, and say it ain't so. Nope, it's Trump onshoring all of the above. The current administration's foreign policy, quote, is inherently difficult to analyze, close quote, because its statements, quote, often lack a coherent foundation or consistent meaning, close quote. Professor Joe Siracusa of Curtin University's Global Futures Platform told Sputnik, commenting on Secretary Luisa Rubio's speech at this year's Munich Security Conference, while the White House started off declaring its intention to, quote, avoid long-term conflict, quote, close quote, its, quote, shift from being risk-averse to highly unpredictable suggests a more dangerous and erratic direction for global stability, close quote, Siracusa said, noting that Rubio's job is to now try to, quote, rationalize a worldview that does not truly exist. Can you just keep repeating after me when I say it? Washington is using, quote, foreign policy quarrels with nations like Iran and Venezuela as easy means to compel solutions, remember, for a domestic audience, public buy-in, perception management, to compel solutions for a domestic audience rather than engaging in complex global strategy. So, you at home are the target, if you listen carefully between the lines, through let them eat chaos to enjoy global solutions. What happens out there is intended for you at home, but engaging in the complex global strategy is not for the masses either. So that is a false comparison, since the future that they want is already and mostly developed and being implemented. So you at home are being conned to begin rationalizing a worldview that does not truly exist, just as I've been explaining one of the methods of deception for decades here now. But to very little acknowledgement, right, MAGA? Or anyone else buying in or not taking action to counter the deceptions? Quote, to rationalize a worldview that does not truly exist, close quote. Was that like Judeo-Christianity? Woke, right? Yeah. To rationalize a worldview that does not truly, that's such an important statement to fully appreciate. As for Rubio's, quote, assertion that the United States is prepared to act unilaterally, close quote, it, quote, is difficult to reconcile with the historical record of American intervention and subsequent destabilization in regions like the Middle East and Latin America, close quote. Sometimes that has always stood, quote, in stark contrast to the rhetoric of international cooperation and collective defense, Syracuse summed up. But I left out a part. The thought, it states an important truth. This observation by Syracuse is a deception too, whether he knows it or not. But as we'll see, he knows very well. Addressing Rubio's criticism of international institutions like the UN, Syracuse recalled that, quote, this tendency to turn away from international bodies is an old story in American politics, echoing the country's decision to opt out of the League of Nations, close quote, after World War I. Well, we shouldn't have been in the UN anyway, and the League of Nations was a problem if you go back and restudy that. So this guy's like a globalist too. We shouldn't have attempted the League of Nations, the precursor to the UN. We shouldn't have allowed the State of Israel to exist in Palestine through UN influence. After the League of Nations, it was allowed it to come in. If you look when they started to do that, it started moving right after the League of Nations was talked about. It didn't get formed, but it created the impetus to start doing these things, which took 20 years or so to get done, 25, 27 years. Nor had it ought to be furthering the agenda that they want, as Donald, I surround myself with losers, Trump is doing right now. The university's Global Futures platform ultimately agrees with the method of cognitive warfare Luisa Rubio, the Zionist-controlled United States, is using. Don't forget on this. That's the same point. Russia still wants into SWIFT, S-W-I-F-T, the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, which is a network that banks use to securely send and receive information about financial transactions. Russia still wants into that existing unifying global financial system and is taking advanced steps towards the unification in promoting the sustainability and the sustainable development and the sustainably developed multipolar world order as China does. And Trump is, whether he knows it or not. Now, one thing to keep your eye on is the bouncing ball of the digital tokenization, to know that this perception management-aided system is in play against you. The Global Futures Research Themes and Collaborations read explores research and network shaping global futures across Curtin and beyond. The Global Futures showcases Curtin's diverse research into the challenges and possibilities shaping our world from media and migration. You've heard of the destructive migration, haven't you, folks? You think it's eye-centric? From media and migration to sustainability, ethics, and creative practice. Curtin Humanities stands at the forefront of understanding and shaping what our shared future should be. Professor Verida Fosdar, Dean Global Futures of the University, saying, quote, universities are places where the future gets designed, and it's the humanities and social sciences that can imagine and help to bring the future we want. Who's we? Imagining, reimagining the future we want. Who's we? Is not thee, I can assure you. How do I know that? Nobody is asking you, are they? And without asking you about the future you are going to share, as in sustainable prosperity, of shared responsibility to a perpetual debt, as stated in Agenda 2030, you think? Well, yeah, the very same. So this Professor Joe Siracusa of Curtin University's Global Futures Platform, speaking to Russian media, is not merely criticizing Rubio. He's explaining the method being used to brainwash you through normalizing fictions, agreeing to things that do not exist, like the sun, Greta, that after a time and through perception-managed exposure, the lies repeatedly told, you eventually believe do exist. The method decried by Professor Joe Siracusa of Curtin University's Global Future Platform, but used by his university, so-called, teaches people to use global futures student research, analyzing virtual influencers, celebrity, authenticity, and identity on social media. A lot of authority there, isn't it? PhD student in the Curtin School of Media, Creative Arts, and Social Inquiry, Rachel Berryman, is exploring an emergent social media phenomenon known as virtual influencers. These fictitious characters are typically created with computer-generated animation and are designed to accumulate audiences on social media and promote messaging or commercial partnerships. The university system is so predictable, isn't it? And globally predictable, if you think this has just been happening since last week, and he's talking about this for the first time. So it's at least about commerce economy, where you are the product, globally, beyond borders. So creative, so AI, so Siberian gulag sounding, so wow. Just like Trump is facilitating at home, as the good professor explains, as an easy means to compel solutions targeting a domestic audience. Is loser Rubio's deception, as is this professor's, and not much different than Jeffrey Sachs, not to be confused with the financier. It is said Jeffrey Epstein. This is BTW RLM 663. Sachs is an American economist and public policy analyst who is a professor at Columbia University. The university stating, quote, Jeffrey D. Sachs is a world-renowned economics professor, best-selling author, innovative educator, innovation educator, and global leader. Right, Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab? In what, folks? That's right, in sustainable development. And remember, he also worked with Russia towards sustainable development futures, which Russia wholeheartedly is imposing upon its people, as is China or the United States, as you all watch. And whom Curtin University promotes, Professor Siracusa notably aims to deepen partnerships with prestigious institutions such as Johns, the Great Kobe Swindle Event 201, Hopkins Kissinger Center of Globalization, and whom also promises to shape the next generation of global thinkers and leaders, and whose blend of academic rigor, practical collaboration, and keen insight into global affairs and American politics positions him uniquely to steer the Global Sustainable Futures Initiative toward impactful contributions on a global scale. Dear global leader Jeffrey, director of the Center of Sustainable Development at Columbia University, Sachs, also criticizes the Trump regime, coincidentally. And not so incorrectly, because in the truthful observations made by Sachs, he can endear himself to you for those correct what appear to be truthful observations. That you believe the fiction, he must be completely truthful despite his performance being a distraction as well, as he hypnotizes you into his sphere of influence and transformative, economical, sustainable slavery that you buy into. Remember that? That buy-in to the same destructive ends through systematizing, rationalizing a worldview that does not truly exist, even where doing nothing to stop the deception that now preoccupies you and your occupied country. And speaking of lying government officials systematizing what does not truly exist, now artificial intelligence enhanced AI police report claims cop turned into frog. Heber City tests AI report tools despite comical misfire. Artificial intelligence may be figuratively reshaping police work, but in one Utah city, it briefly tried to reshape an officer into a fairy tale amphibian. Heber City police say an AI report writing tool recently produced a document claiming an officer had transformed into a frog, courtesy not of sorcery, but of Disney. The software apparently picked up audio from the movie The Princess and the Frog, which was playing in the background of the officer's body camera footage. Maybe that's a clue every time you're confronted by a cop, a code enforcement officer, or other official, what do you think? In the background. The glitch, he said, taught the department, quote, the importance of correcting these AI-generated reports. Reports, close quote. The department is piloting two systems, Draft 1, which produced the frog episode, and Code 4, a newer tool built by 19-year-old MIT dropouts George Chang and Dylan Nguyen. Draft 1 was released by Axon, the company that makes the Taser stun gun. Both programs generate written reports from body camera video, an increasingly attractive option for agencies swamped with paperwork. In a ride-along demonstration, Code 4 produced a timestamp report from a staged traffic stop and can operate in English and Spanish while tracking tone and sentiment in conversations. Keel says the software is already shaving hours off his weekly workload, cutting report writing time that typically runs 1 to 2 hours per incident. He estimates he's saving 6 to 8 hours a week and describes the tool as easy to use despite not seeing himself as particularly tech-oriented. But Forbes reports some are raising concerns with the idea of using AI in police work despite the fact that the companies involved stress that human oversight is still needed before police reports are finalized. And I want to just highlight this again. I've said it before. I was reading this part and I read the other part, the other paragraph. Again, AI needs people to intervene at some point before a decision is made. Proven in this case as well. The Electronic Frontier Foundation warned in an investigation last year that Draft 1, quote, seems deliberately designed to avoid audits, close quote, noting it's difficult to tell which parts of the report are AI-generated and which are human-generated. So you're going to be trusting AI with your life, whether you consent or not. It'll be used against you in a court of law, or maybe the cop really is some sort of amphibian, a reptilian creature even. And speaking of artificial intelligence, reptilian-type creatures. EU, again, has lost the internet, cybersecurity chief says. Miguel de Brucker has warned of American dominance over tech in the region. And so let's go back to the United States where we say what Trump's been bringing in and whom the companies are they are using and what those companies have already been seen to be doing. We just have to ask a few dead Gazans, the Palestinians, but I guess we can't because they're dead, as all these tech companies are using AI to go kill people with, hunt them down, and kill them. Fully storing data within the EU is impossible because American technology companies dominate the space. And so we are reminded that all this information that we're giving up, we need to privatize that. We need to privatize all of it. The EU now already sees a problem with their information staying where it's going to stay and where they need it to stay. The official also noted the EU regulation on artificial intelligence was blocking innovation within the bloc. Following the implementation of mandatory rules for general purpose AI last year, the EU faced a swift domestic backlash over concerns that high compliance costs were undermining innovation and investment. Well, they want that innovation and investment because that's what's going to bring all that digitization cyber gulag in. The internal pressure was compounded by sharp criticism from the United States government and major technology companies, which labeled the regulations as protectionist measures designed to unfairly target American firms. Quote, we've lost the whole cloud. We have lost the internet. Let's be honest, De Brucker said earlier this week in an interview with the newspaper, quote, if I want my information 100% in the EU, keep on dreaming, close quote, he added. Quote, you're setting an objective that is not realistic, close quote. He added that it was currently impossible to store data fully in Europe because U.S. companies dominate digital infrastructure and essential online services. Question for you, my listener, is do you use any of these digital infrastructure for anything you do and hand it to a third party that has control of it and where it goes globally? Quote, in cyberspace, everything is commercial. Everything is privately owned, close quote, De Brucker said, stressing the EU's cyber defenses depend on cooperation from private companies, most of which are American. Is it or Israeli? They just put an American face on. What did I talk about earlier, the Bar Association? They're a foreign association, a foreign corporation. They had to register as a foreign corporation until the laws of the state were changed, arguably lawfully, to change them into a domesticated, and they domesticated themselves. Again, a front corporation to itself. Under the EU's AI Act, binding rules for general purpose AI models took effect on August 2, 2025. The rules require developers placing such models on the EU market to meet transparency and documentation obligations and comply with copyright requirements, with stricter duties applying to the most powerful system classified as posing systemic risks. They would all be a systemic risk to anyone, wouldn't they, if you're looking at privacy? Oversight of the rules is carried out by the EU AI office. Again, as I read this, I'm thinking, am I supporting the EU AI office? No, I'm telling you there's a danger. Even if your name's not Will Robinson, there's a danger. And we're being told that by a European Union association. Brussels was, however, forced to backpedal in late 2025 by introducing a digital simplification package. The initiative introduced in response to sharp domestic criticism led by national champions such as Francis Mistral AI and German's Alpha is aimed at easing the regulatory burdens on European startups. Regulators offered extended grace periods for compliance and launched the Apply AI Alliance to provide technical support. De Brucker, however, suggested that Brussels should back private initiatives to boost cloud computing and digital identification. He called for an approach mirroring the creation of Airbus, which was jointly supported by member states, urging a similar effort at EU level in the cyber domain. Quote, instead of putting that focus on how can we stop the U.S. hyperscalers, maybe we put our energy in building up something by ourselves, the CCB chief said. So don't miss the fact that he's pressing for identification as well in the public systems. That's not going to be a system you want to actually be involved in if you can help it. Again, the donations I asked for, hopefully, will build enough that we can build the system that RLM, Real Liberty Media, Grimner's White Elephant is turning into something behind the scenes, pulling it all together, all the different things that he had together, pulled it together. We can go the one additional step and make it into the future, not the future that they want, just as Grimner would have liked to see. Getting over to the EU and what they're trying to do and the globalization, and the, you see the people who speak are actually talking you into the system, even though they decry a foreign system to them. They want you attached to their system. They want to be attached to you, the parasite that they is. And with Trump's stealthy onshoring of sustainable development goals and infrastructure, it would think everyone looks at the surface story and thinks this is cool that Trump pulls U.S. from 66 global organizations. If you don't know he's onshoring, you think this is a good deal. And I said early on, this is just reorganization and rebranding of the global system. The global system is coming to take you away. It is also the financial structure. That's the other side of that. That's the bottom of this whole thing, ultimately. If they control your means, your money, how you get around in the world and make your way through the world, they control you. And partly just as a truism, that's why they hate private ingenuity, private production. They can't keep track of it. That's why they dislike gold, except that it shows a value store that they can then do their financial fiat paperwork, fancy footwork with, and steal more from you. Trump pulls U.S. from 66 global organizations. Sounds like a good idea. Until you understand what he's onshoring. He doesn't need them. You don't have to be connected to them. You look like you're separate, don't you? Agencies dealing with population, climate, are among those being dropped. Now, I want you to be very careful about what he's also done. You've been talking about, the administration talks about eliminating climate change. I don't know if you've been noticing, it's popping back into the discussion. It's popping back up over time, quietly. Trump administration will withdraw the United States from dozens of international organizations, including the United Nations Population Agency and the UN treaty that establishes international climate negotiations, a further retreat by the United States from global cooperation. Retreat? Where is the constitutional requirement for the federal government to insist on global cooperation? Especially when Trump is onshoring all the global cooperation. The digital panopticon, the Siberian gulag infrastructure. Is the sun involved with those climate negotiations, or do you all just pretend the sun don't exist? President Trump on Wednesday signed an executive order suspending support for 66 organizations, agencies, and commissions. Trump had instructed his administration to review participation in and funding for all international organizations, including those affiliated with the UN, according to a White House statement on social media. Most of the targets are UN-related agencies, commissions, and advisory panels that focus on climate, labor, and other issues that Trump administration has categorized as catering to diversity and woke initiatives, according to a partial list obtained by the AP. And so they're looking and pigeonholing this whole idea relative to being woke or not. And that is nothing of what the whole situation is, to get you in and lock you up and throw away the key. Your encryption key? Quote, the Trump administration has found these institutions to be redundant in their scope, mismanaged, unnecessarily wasteful, poorly run, captured by interest of actors advancing their own agendas contrary to our own, define our, like we define we, who are they talking with? And what did Trump do? He just redesigned and reorganized his administration, got rid of USAID and all that stuff, and put a large part of the functioning parts that weren't redundant inside the State Department for Luisa Rubio to manage. But unnecessary? Wasteful? It's already existing in the United States. He doesn't want to go invest outside, outwardly, when he's got it inside. Advancing their own agendas contrary to our own, or a threat to our nation's sovereignty, freedoms, and general prosperity, a State Department statement said. Okay, Rubio, you're back. Okay, good start. Now do the Zionist Federation Movement political party. Stop funding Israel. Make them pay the United States back, too. So you might be wondering, how does getting rid of 66, that's right, 66, for those of you keeping track of the numbers, of global organizations, including those for climate, bring on the global agenda? Well, it's as you've been told by Nochid. Oh, and now this propaganda coming out of the White House to confirm the fact. Trump to attend World Economic Forum in Davos with senior U.S. officials. U.S. President Donald Trump has, this is older news, but I wanted to point it out, attended the 2026 World Economic Forum in Davos, marking his first in-person appearance at the annual global gathering since returning to the White House for a second term. Done it before, right? According to a source familiar with the plans, Trump will be joined by several key members of administration, underscoring the importance his government places on engaging global politics and business leaders. Among the senior officials attending the U.S. is U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, and Energy Secretary Chris Wright. The delegation will also include U.S. Trade Representatives Jameson Greer and Steve Witkoff, a special envoy to the Middle East. And don't you think it's interesting that the United States just sent to the Iranian negotiations a feckless vice president and two property developers, and Iran sent some 80 different specialists in their government to try and work out a negotiation? Like I said, what an embarrassment, what a disgrace our system is, our administration is. The delegation will also include U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer and Steve Witkoff, the developer, a real estate developer. He's also going to discuss the Strait of Hormuz. Like, what are they going to discuss? How they're going to develop the coastal areas for new resorts and for Trump? In this story, their presence highlights at Davos that the administration's focus on economic policy, trade, energy security. What does that mean? Even everybody else's oil, so we control it. And international diplomacy during the World Economic Forum, which is known for shaping discussions on global economic trends and geopolitical challenges, sounding very similar to Curtin University. Mr. Syracuse, doesn't it? Trump's decision to attend Davos in person comes after he addressed the forum via video link last year, just 4 days after beginning his second term. This year, the president plans to use the global stage to outline new housing and affordability proposals. Modernizing housing, folks, remember the old laws that came through, the laws back in 2010, 2011? Yeah, he's going to be bringing those up again. Just like Congress passed. Just like the law says he can do. All those modernization acts about various insecurities somewhere back in the day. After we forgot. I reported on all those and fulfilling the global sustainable development mandates that were then, have been, and are continuing today under Trump. And nobody knows that, apparently. No one says a thing about it. Oh, except for the guy behind the woodshed and my listener behind the woodshed, as you've been told. These policy themes are expected to resonate with international audience concerned with rising living costs, housing shortages, and economic inequality. Well, how economically inequality are we having to go through now in the United States? But anyway, that's what they promote. In previous appearances at the World Economic Forum, Trump has used his speeches to deliver strong messages on U.S. economic priorities. Last year, he urged OPEC to lower oil prices, called for interest rate cuts, and warned global companies that they could face tariffs if they manufacture products outside the United States. His remarks were widely covered and sparked debate among world leaders and executives attending the forum. With global trade, energy markets, and inflation remaining key issues, Trump's participation in Davos 2026 is likely to draw significant attention. The presence of a top U.S. economic and trade officials suggest the administration intends to actively shape discussions on global growth, competitiveness, and America's role in the international economy during the year's World Economic Forum. And we are still looking at the financial, global financial system here, aren't we? Now, why did Trump pull the U.S. from 66 global organizations? They're dead weight and obvious. He doesn't need to coordinate with 66 organizations to bring on the global agenda after the United States government integrated it into the very function of government all these years. Yeah, this revolution won't be advertised. No different than the EPA, the Global Environmental Change Agent within the Gates. No, not Bill Gates, the Global Environmental Change Agent within the Gates of the Republic hasn't been advertised being one of the three pillars of sustainable development touching social, economic, and environmental sustainability. Environmental sustainability is the EPA. That's one of the three pillars of sustainable development. You've heard this before. I'm bringing it up again. Trump's advancing it at Davos. But the World Economic Forum, don't miss the connection to age 20, 30, and your prosperity, which is shared responsibility and perpetual debt slavery. If you haven't read the document, go read it. You have to read about two-thirds of the way through before you find that. This is where you have no property and like it in the Siberian Gulag. But that's not making America great again. And wasn't planned to make America great again. And so Trumpenstein is on the road again instead to tell how he supports the global plunder. How cool is that? Is MAGA listening? Do we care? I mean, does anybody care? I care. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't say anything. I think we still have a shot. It's getting a long shot. I mean, a really long shot. But it's out there. Again, stepping back, it's on each one of us. We came in this place without anything. We're going to leave without anything. And in between, we still got that choice to make. That choice about us. And the global financial system needing it more than you, black gold won't die no matter what, La Carbon Nostra says. And leading up to the Operation Epic FAFO, Trump meant to steal all the oil from everyone if he could get away with it. Well, we must respond. Russia must torpedo. Tanker drama, first vid of Russian Shadow Fleet tanker seized by U.S. forces off the U.K. as furious deputy head of Russian State Duma Defense Committee threatens nuclear response. Nuclear glowing, folks. Not going to get away from that. The U.S. Coast Guard Munro Cutter escorted the rusted Marinara oil tanker through the North Atlantic as it was commandeered by Donald Trump's team after 2 weeks of maritime chase. Quote, there is no doubt that we must respond firmly and swiftly. Our military doctrine even envisions the use of nuclear weapons in response to such attacks, stated Alesky Zurovlyov, the first deputy head of Russia's State Duma Defense Committee. U.S. War Crimes Secretary Pete Hegseth appeared to shrug off the accusations of, quote, outright piracy, close quote, as he gleefully praised his men for the successful commandeering of the vessel. Kremlin officials were left infuriated after American troops boarded the rusting Marinara tanker following a daring 2-week chase across the Atlantic. The Shadow Fleet tanker is now in the custody of Washington in a fresh blow to Putin. And this is a highly anti-Putin article, but I'd cut through some of that. I want to point out the Shadow Fleet, that's a made-up term. There's no such thing. It has to do with the insurance, and that goes back over probably mostly Lloyd's of London, although Trump tried to wade his little big feet in there to offer some of these tankers through the Strait of Hormuz, which all didn't work. I mean, that's, again, no cards. But anyway, so this is a fresh blow to Putin, and, you know, fresh blows, folks, I guess. But who is actually on their knees? Blowhards, maybe? Washington pivot, Russians' oil sanctions lifted among Middle East energy crisis. The Trump administration has officially suspended sanctions on Russian oil as global energy markets reel from the total shutdown of the Strait of Hormuz. The policy shift follows the launch of Operation FUBAR, or Blind Fury, as it is also tagged, on February 28th, a U.S. military campaign that killed Iranian Supreme Leader Khamenei and targeted a key military infrastructure within the Islamic Republic. And through this, we also then understand Trump murdering a cleric, a supreme leader, galvanizing these Iranian public. How much more stupid a thing to do can you get, actually? Iran's subsequently retaliatory strikes brought tanker traffic in the Middle East to a standstill, causing global oil prices to surge. And that didn't hurt Russia much, did it? In response, U.S. Department of Treasury issued a temporary 30-day waiver on Russian oil sanctions on March the 5th. Is this making sense to anybody? Well, the initial waiver was designed to allow Indian refineries to process Russian crude already in transit. The Treasury expanded the suspension on March 12th to include all nations through April 5th. Data from tracking firm Kepler indicates that over 130 million barrels of Russian crude were at sea on March 6th. This surplus has become a critical lifeline as traditional Middle Eastern routes remain compromised. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent noted in March 12th podcast that allowing Indian refineries to purchase this oil was an inevitability, describing it as a fast-acting source that would simultaneously limit the flow of crude to China. This marks a sharp reversal from January when Bessent confirmed at the World Economic Forum the U.S. had pressured India with 25% tariffs to halt Russian purchases. Did you get that, though? Inevitability? It was inevitable. The administration knows it's playing very stupid global games that have real potential to turn to nuclear. And Trump doesn't have the right not to know. Besides, ignorance is no excuse. The force to light the match and touch it to the powder keg he is sitting on. Right, Wile E. Coyote? And speaking of pretentious powder kegs that ultimately went fizzle, federal government loses Emergencies Act appeal. Court says use during convoy protests was unreasonable. The Federal Court of Appeals upholds decision that protests did not meet the threshold of national security threat. If you haven't figured out, I'm talking about Kanukistan here. Sounds pretty close and similar, doesn't it? The Freedom Convoy? The Federal Court of Appeals, when relooking at what they did, and I told you this during the Great Covey Swindle, with these exigent circumstances, this Federal Court of Appeals found there wasn't any. Not at least at the national security threat level. The Liberal government unreasonably invoked the Emergencies Act to clear the convoy protests that gridlocked the capital city and border points nearly 4 years ago. So all your rights are violated, even this long. The Federal Court of Appeals ruled on Friday. The court dismissed the government's appeal of a 2024 ruling which deemed former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's decision to use the legislation unlawful and infringe on the protesters' charter rights. Quote, as disturbing and disruptive the blockades and the convoy protests in Ottawa could be, they fell short of the threat to national security, close quote, wrote the three judges on the appeals court. The government has long argued that protests pose a security threat and the measures it took under the Emergencies Act were targeted proportionally and temporary. What they do over there in Israel, right? I mean, that's with the Palestinians. We did it all proportionally. Don't have a right. Don't have a right to attack. And the Palestinians have a right to defend, but they don't have a right to attack as Israel. But it was proportional. To what? In the 2024 decision appealed from, Federal Court Justice Richard Moseley, since retired, said the government's decision lacked justification, transparency, and intelligibility. Take a list here, folks. Write it down. This is part of that issue of having an exigent circumstance. You just don't make it up. It's got to be justifiable. It has to be a transparently clear that it's correct and intelligible. The appeals court decision agreed with Mosley's findings that cabinet did not have reasonable grounds to believe that a threat to national security exists and fell short of the legal threshold needed to invoke the act. Standards, folks, objective basis. I don't need no international law. No, no, no. We got to have these objective bases to function with people. If you don't, you have these types of tyrants running us down. And I'll provide another link with some more information to that story containing additional videos and private comments regarding the decision, which I think are important to review. People that are working in Kyrgyzstan on this issue, fighting this matter, had an opinion, and one of the guys, I don't remember his name now, he wasn't too satisfied with the outcome of that. Even so, it was a win, and he agreed that part. But again, there's a deeper way to look at this, and you start watching, even though you think it's a win, it may only be a partial win, as the government occupier starts to encroach even further. Now, you can get that link at the blogcaster at thereallibertymedia.com when the ghost publisher is done, and hopefully that's happening pretty soon with the ability to get the last broadcast out. I should say here, I didn't say it too much. I don't really think too much about it, but remember, I have a BitChute. Get on over to BitChute if you want to see. The links are there. It's not a blogcaster presentation, but the links are there. You can follow the content at BitChute, at Behind the Woodshed, and you should be able to find all the lists as I put them up, as they have been. And thank you for watching over there. So I get a little bit more increasing every year, I guess. A few more come. So thank you for that. Again, donate as you can. This is the season of donation. We're going to continue to need it as these prices keep going up. Thank you, President Trump. And this has been BTWRLM 663. I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, listen to learn. Dose by dose. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. House words ignite, the airwaves burn. Stand up, listen, it's time to learn. Behind the woodshed, where truths are earned. Law to liberty, the spectrum line. In house court, no place to hide. A can of wood bass, ready to burst for unspoken truths and unquenchable thirst. Behind the woodshed. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.